Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
President Trump uninvited the Eagles. Today was the day they were supposed to be there for their Super Bowl celebration and meet the president. And instead, Donald Trump had an impromptu celebration of America on the White House lawn.
They tried to make a big deal out of all of this. And the Eagles, during the regular season, when most people are paying attention to football, we'll categorize it as that. They did not have anybody that knelt down.
The Spurs really started. They got back to ball movement, find the open man, get some athletic players. Then the Warriors took over and took it to this whole other level when you get shooters like Klay and Steph. And now teams are trying to mimic that. You see the Rockets, who are quote-unquote obsessed with beating Golden State. Didn't work out this year.
With playing the Warriors, trying to beat the Warriors, you need to put together a team that can play defense, not score with them, but you need to be able to score at an efficient rate.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back into the Blitz. Want to welcome our SportsMap 94.1 listeners in for Hour 3 as well. No Fred, no AJ. Instead, you got Craig Koshkin. You got Jermaine Every. If you like what you hear, you can find more of us on podcastarena.com/sideline. That is our weekly podcast that Jermaine and I put out. And that's how we got in here, is they liked it enough to at least give us a shot on the big show.
Sorry if we haven't recorded in the last couple of weeks, but we've been kind of busy filling in on the radio, so we figured you guys would just listen to us here.
Well, we did post our show from the other side last week, and we'll probably do that again this week.
Shout out to Shea Raffis for hooking us up with that.
Appreciate that. Well, we've talked a lot.
Yes, we have.
And we've kind of had some nonsense today. It's kind of been all over the place. But in this segment, I kind of wanted to talk about the fact that we have another state outside of Nevada, well, Las Vegas specifically, that has legalized gambling. Delaware has legalized it. They took their first sports bets today. And I want to get your input. What does that legitimately mean for sports gambling? Delaware was one of those states that actually sued the federal government for the right to get to make sports gambling legalized. Anyway, so when it became legal for the state, when it became a state's rights issue, it was pretty obvious Delaware would be one of the first, if not the first state to do so. But what does this mean moving forward?
Number one, it means that Delaware was like a runner, and as soon as the gun fires, they took off. And they ran immediately towards the finish line of getting their state set up to take sports bets. But what this really means is this is the first domino since the federal case ruling to fall. This was the first state to do so, I believe, since that federal case went through. Other states are going to sit back, wait, watch, monitor, and figure out how Delaware is doing it. They're going to talk to New Jersey. They're going to talk to Nevada. They're going to talk to other states and kind of see how this goes and, you know, kind of a wait and see approach. But I believe Fred and AJ have talked about this before. Within the next 5 to 10 years, then you'll start to see more states. They said it's going to be a slow trickle. It won't be this mad dash. And I tend to fall in line with the same thing. I think it'll be just like the legalizing of marijuana, where a lot of states, you know, kind of sat back and waited, and then you see some trickling in here and there, whether it's recreational use or only medicinal. I think the same thing will happen with sports gambling.
The difference with that being that marijuana is still not a state's right issue. It's still federally illegal to do. And so the feds could at any point in time go into any one of those states and go into a dispensary and arrest anyone they wanted to who was there.
They could.
They haven't, and I don't believe they would, but they could. Whereas with gambling, is because of a Supreme Court ruling, is a state's right issue. If your state votes for it to be legal, it's going to be legal. And it's funny, I was reading this, and all I could think about was, you remember the movie Wayne's World, not just the SNL skit.
Oh, yeah.
Wayne's World. When they get the green screen for the first time, and they're like going all around the country, and they get to Delaware, and they say, who would go to Delaware? What is there to do in Delaware? Well, this is the one thing Delaware could do to get people to finally come to their, I'm assuming, beautiful state. Because no one else is going to Delaware for any other reason. The only city I know is in Delaware is Dover.
That's the capital.
That's the capital, but Do you know anything else about the state of Delaware other than it was one of the 13 original colonies?
It's a state.
Okay.
That's about it.
That's about it. So good for them. I think this is a smart move. The first bet I saw, the governor actually placed the first bet. It was a $10 bet on the Phillies.
Nice.
For tonight. But the first regular Joe Schmo bet $500 each on four different baseball games tonight.
But you know, that was really cool that the governor was the one who made the first bet. Because it's a symbolism thing. It's like, you know what? My state took the risk of putting ourselves out there and being the first one since the Supreme Court ruling to go ahead and legalize sports gambling. The symbolism of that is huge. Now, that will help attract more visitors to the state of Delaware.
You'll get a lot of drive-ups on college football Saturdays until other states. New Jersey is probably not far behind Delaware. They were another one of the states that was suing the federal government for the right. And if New Jersey does it, more people will be inclined to drive to New Jersey than Delaware, probably. I mean, it just depends on where you are geographically. But I mean, people from New York City will drive down to Delaware. What do you think this means for your home state of Louisiana? Do you think they're going to be quick on the sports gambling? I mean, they've already got the casinos.
If they're smart enough, they'll be right behind Delaware.
You think Tillman Fertitta wants legalized gambling in Louisiana?
Yeah.
You think the Golden Nugget would do well with a sports book added?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, here's the thing. Over there in Lake Charles, around in that area, there's other areas to build and to expand. There was actually a defunct riverboat casino that was permanently docked on that lake in Lake Charles that since the storm in Katrina, I believe, or it was Irma, one of those two, but it's gone away. That whole development site right there is ripe for putting another casino there.
Yep.
Whether or not Tillman wants to add another casino.
Oh, he just added to the Gold Nugget that's already over
there.
Yeah,
he just did. Added there. But at the same time, when you have legalized sports gambling, if he has another, doesn't he have a different brand of hotel or casino that he can put on the opposite side of the lake?
Not casino. The Golden Nugget is his hotel.
Okay.
Is his casino baby. But the thing I find interesting about it all is I read this during the playoffs. You know, Tillman Fertitta, and it makes sense, but he can't take Rockets bets at any of his casinos.
Yeah, the same thing happened with the Maloofs when they owned the Kings.
That makes sense.
Same thing happened with the
Maloofs. But he had to, as soon as the Rockets and the Warriors got to the Western Conference Finals, regardless of the outcome, he had to pay out every bet on the Warriors for that.
And the thing about it is it's a conflict of interest thing.
Well, and it's also you don't want a Pete Rose situation where he's fixing games because he's the owner and he knows he can make a ton of money by having the Rockets lose because the action is heavy on the Rockets on a given night.
It's a morals and ethics thing, and I'm glad that they're doing that.
Oh,
and
for
the
sure.
One thing that I will appreciate is how they regulate all of this because it needs to be regulated. It needs to be made sure that things are done on the up and up, that there aren't fixing games and, you know, guys throwing games, because it's bad enough the Tim Donaghy situation opened a can of worms as far as referees are concerned. The Pete Rose thing even opened up a can of worms, you know, almost 30 years ago about this can of worms, the Arizona State point shaving scandal, the Tulane point shaving scandal.
Wasn't there a Boston College one as well?
There was.
There
was. So, I mean, you got all of these scandals all around college football. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, don't stick your head in the sand and be ignorant to the fact that this is not still going on. This is still going on. It's just that you can't see it. It's not out there in the open to readily see. There's nothing that says, you know, this isn't going on, that this is something that's totally, totally, totally been eradicated. It still goes on. It just goes on in the dark underneath the tables, and it hasn't been discovered. But to know that they're going to take steps in order to make sure that this is done on the up and up, it'll bring tax dollars in for the state, local, and federal government. It's a great idea. I mean, it's just like the legalization of marijuana. If you make things like this that are so readily available and so prevalently used by the public legal, and you regulate them and tax them, make it a revenue stream instead of making it a crime. And you'll see a tremendous turnaround in the downtick of crimes associated with these type of behaviors.
Real quick note before we hit the break. Got a text. Delaware has some beautiful beaches and a massive chemical plant. So those are the things.
You know what else I found out about? Delaware Punch was invented in San Antonio. It wasn't even invented in Delaware.
I don't even know what Delaware Punch is.
What?
You're going to have to tell me what that is on the other side of the
break. Oh,
you got to tell me what that is on the other side of the break. I don't know what it is. Thank you for tuning in. Sports Map and ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz.
Looking downcast on a park bench. Just waiting for this song.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
No Fred, no AJ yet again. Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Avery, John Snow here in on the Blitz. You know, Jermaine, one of my favorite things about getting to do this is the non-hip-hop that we get to listen to, because our show, our podcast, everything, we're pretty hip-hop heavy on things. I love hip-hop, but I like getting that contrast, which is...
You know, I don't mind it. When Craig Shelton and I used to do Hustle Town, we used to get Tyler to play us like some Jimi Hendrix or, you know, some different kind of stuff all the time. We used to be very hip-hop heavy, but every so often, and Craig Shelton's a huge music guy. So every so often we would ask for different types of music, or Tyler would just hit us with something. Pink Floyd, I think, was one of Craig's favorites or something like that. But I like the variety.
Yep. You're going to tell me what Delaware Punch is, because I have no idea what it is. And you were just completely flabbergasted.
Dude, Delaware Punch, it's like this. It's hard to describe because it looks like. It's like a grape drink.
Is it alcoholic? Because it sounds like a rum punch or a, you know.
It's literally sold in a can, in bottles, and in soda fountains. It's not an alcoholic drink. It's
Never seen it anywhere in my life. And I am a man who drinks a lot of soda, if you could tell by my waistline. I drink the sugary stuff. So.
Yeah, we're two big guys who love food. So yep. If you haven't listened to our shows or podcasts when we fill in, we food is one of our favorite topics. But I believe if you go to James Coney Island, I'm sorry, Todd, if you're listening, I didn't mean to do that on air, but I believe they still serve Delaware Punch in their fountain drinks. So that is something you need to check out before we get on air or record our next podcast, because I need you to be on a mission to taste this drink.
Okay. So before, I know we have a story you want to tell us real quick. Lamont sent us something on Twitter.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
There's a man standing outside NRG with a sign hoping the Texans will allow him to try out. And he's been doing it for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he says you got to do what you got to do. You've got to swallow your pride. Sean Mock.
6'1", 230, says he wants to try out to be a Texans linebacker or defensive end. Well, at 230...
You ain't playing defensive end for the Texans.
You ain't playing defensive end for the Texans. So, you know.
You're not even going to be big enough to play outside linebacker.
I respect the man for doing what he, you know, wants to do in life, whatever his passion is.
Oh, yeah.
If it's football, I respect him for doing that, but you're not getting it.
This would be the longest of long shots. Number one, he's 30. Number two, he's very undersized for the positions that he thinks he's going to play. Maybe inside linebacker in this scheme, if anything. Nothing more than if he should happen to just blow everyone's socks off with his athletic ability and, you know, whatever he does. At best, a million to one long shot, this guy's going to be a special teams contributor only.
That'd be great if he got to that point. That'd be fantastic for him. And he's 30 years old. He played football at Lamar University, quit to take care of his 7-year-old daughter. Good. I mean, it's a great story. It'd be really cool if he got a tryout. I just don't see it happening.
That's the only reason I mean, if he got a tryout, it'd just be because the Texans said, hey, you know what? The guy did it. Let's give this guy a shot. But at the same time, if the Texans did that, and this is why I believe they shouldn't give him a shot, because now it opens up Pandora's box.
Someone did this when the Texans were on Hard Knocks, too.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name.
He was a defensive lineman from what I can remember.
I don't remember much, but I do remember this isn't the first time that it's happened. I just don't see it working. I hope everything does work out for this man. I'm very skeptical at this point.
If I were the Texans, I would try to contact him and maybe work him out secretly. But like I said before, I really wouldn't want them to, because this is going to open up Pandora's box.
You don't want everyone off the street who thinks they would. It reminds me of, if you've seen the movie Invincible, the Papali story, the guy from Vince Papali. Yeah. They held open tryouts. That just isn't the world we live in anymore. There's a fully functioning farm system for the NFL. It's called college football.
Of course. If anything, if he really wants to do something, put together some sort of highlight reel of him working out, doing different things like that, and start flooding Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and any other social medium he can find in hopes of trying to get a job. Maybe perhaps contact an agent who can try to get you into a workout or this should have been something he should have been thinking about pre-combine. So that way when guys are doing their pro days and whatnot, an agent can try to hook him up with a local pro day maybe. That's a much better way to try to get noticed. This is just basically a cool story to get a little bit of attention, maybe get some run. Somebody may offer him something or whatever, but this is not a good look for the Texans if they should happen to give this guy a shot.
Best of luck to the young man. I say young man, he's 4 years my junior. It's not exactly young, but he's, I hope things work out for him. I don't think they will in regards to playing for the Texans or getting a tryout. I think there's a very good chance other things could work out for him as a result of the publicity that he's getting here.
The other guy that was holding the sign out in front of NRG in 2015, his name was Joe Anderson. And after that, he got an invite to be on the Jets signed him to the practice squad.
Yeah, but wasn't he like fresh out of college?
Yeah, I think so. And then he was released before training camp.
Yeah, and he played somewhere decent too, if I remember correctly, like a South Carolina type place or so, somewhere that's not
Texas Southern.
Okay, so it's Texas Southern. So it wasn't somewhere, super high end, but it's not that like Texas Southern hasn't put out people to play in the NFL.
Michael Strahan.
It was 3 years removed from his college playing days.
Okay, so 3 years as opposed to nearly 10.
So he was 25 as opposed to 30. So that's a
huge difference in football years
of longevity, especially if you took 3 years off and didn't have any tread on the tires. Had more tread on the tires.
Oh, he also played at Louisiana Tech.
Okay,
I knew it was somewhere else he played that was a D1 school. Okay. You know, that kind of stuff, it's kind of weird, because I know people may think I'm crushing the guy or I'm hating on him because he's trying. Oh, trust me, I'm not doing that at all.
No, I appreciate the hustle to try and get whatever he can done. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the likelihood of it working out. And that doesn't mean he should stop trying either.
Yeah, I mean, definitely don't give up on your dreams, because both of us got here the very unconventional route to get to this point where we are. So if we get this point or any higher than where we are, it'd be a miracle just about. But, I'm definitely, don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up. If you have something you want and you want it bad enough, do whatever it is you can within reason, people, within reason, to make it happen. But don't fill yourself with false hope thinking that it's going to happen because you want it bad enough. You have to want it bad enough, and you have to follow up and do things you need to do in order to make it a remote possibility. Everything else out there after that, that's beyond your control, you just have to pray for it. But I'm not saying this guy should give up on his hopes and dreams. It's such a long shot that it probably won't happen. And I just think that it would open up Pandora's box for the Texans, or you have 1,000 Yahoos out there wishing for jobs and all kind of other stuff.
I do think it'll probably pan out in the form of some other opportunity because of the publicity he's getting. Maybe not even having anything to do with football, but the publicity is not a bad thing for this young man.
It's not a bad thing, because I do believe something will come about for him because of this. I don't want to call it a publicity stunt. I'll just say he's trying hard and he got a little run for his good effort.
I have a buddy who just texted me and said, I'm quitting my job tomorrow thanks to you guys. Twitch, here I come. He's going to be a Twitch streamer as a result.
Look,
of...
do not go out there and quit your job and say, Jermaine and Craig told me to pursue my dreams, okay? I don't want to get blamed for this. I don't need any angry wives and or husbands, ladies, if you're out there listening and thinking about doing the same. I don't need anybody angry contacting me on Twitter or anything saying, you told my husband or wife to quit his or her job and pursue her dreams, and now everything's going haywire. Please do not do that.
We said no such thing.
I said within reason. Within reason. So if doing whatever, if you want to quit your job, buddy, and go be a Twitch guy, do that. But please make sure you have at least 3 to 6 months savings paid so you can pay your bills while you try to get your Twitch game off the ground.
Who's ready to run through a wall after that motivational speech from Jermaine?
Look.
I see the passion in Jong's eyes over there from the other side of the glass. I see it.
Video games can be a very profitable thing. It can also be kind of destructive.
It's very profitable for very few people. The people who do well make a lot of money. The rest of the people are struggling day to day. So, yeah, don't do that.
Or you could be like me and get in trouble.
Don't get in trouble. That's Why did you get in trouble?
That's a tease. We'll hit it after the break.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Monday, I become a corporate trick. My stomach starts to curdle, my brain hot with rage. I begin to plead, God won't make me go back to that cage. At least you got a job.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Every, in for Fred and A.J. today. Jong is here producing the show in his normal capacity. No one has offered to send him to San Diego Comic-Con. We've failed on our sole mission for the day.
Jong, we're sorry. We apologize deeply.
It's okay.
We really want to try to get you there. But look, we're not going to give up because we still have time to get Jong to Comic-Con. So y'all please tweet, post Instagram posts, Facebook posts, bang on the door, do whatever it is you got to do. Call the hotline, call the listener line, call the sales office. Get Jong to Comic-Con. He deserves it.
Agreed. Could not agree more. He deserves to go there. If you haven't heard his comic cast, if you're into all things movies, comic books, superhero stuff, it's really good. You need to check it out.
A really, really good podcast, especially if you go back and listen to some of their episodes while Game of Thrones was going on. It's pretty entertaining stuff. They also have a lot of insight into the Marvel movies that have been coming out lately. So if you're into any of that, comics, fantasy, the movies, the different TV shows and whatnot, that podcast is a really, really good one to listen to.
Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, Jermaine, you got in trouble last night.
Night before last.
Yeah,
Tuesday.
You got in trouble.
Well, wait.
That would be Sunday, the night
Sunday,
before last. Today is Tuesday.
You're right.
If you think today is Thursday, you're in for a rude awakening for the rest of the week.
I'm going to be back here on Thursday, so I'm thrown off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you'll have someone more experienced in this chair over here when you come back.
Yeah, a little bit. So we're talking about your buddy who's going to quit his job and become a Twitch superstar. And he texted you back. He already quit, right?
Yeah, he said he quit his job.
He quit his job already.
I don't believe him.
Pursue your dreams.
I don't think he quit.
But, so I was playing in one of my Madden Connected Franchise Mode leagues. It was kind of late at night. It was on Sunday. I had to get up and go to work the next morning. But me and my buddy, we had to knock out our game because the sim was like the next day and both of us were going to be at work. It's late. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. Been moving into the new house. All kinds of stuff going on. And I ended up losing because of some stupid mistakes. I'll just call them Madden glitches. And I got a little heated. I knew so I was.
Were they nano blitzing all day?
No.
That's the only thing I know. That
no,
is a thing.
He's not one of those guys. When we play, it's always a really good game. It's always a really close game. It always comes down to either who has the ball last or who makes the last mistake. It's one of those kind of, because we're both football guys. We're not like video game guys, so we're not going to do all the glitch plays and stuff like that. But it's just weird stuff that happens in Madden. I was upset because I don't like to lose, and I especially don't like to lose to Chris, because Chris is he's pretty good. He's very cerebral, very patient Madden player. But we always have a good game. Anyway, I'm losing, so of course I go into throw a mini fit, and I knew I was in trouble when the man cave door opened and the wife walked in. She was already laying down in bed sleeping.
That's never a good thing.
Here's the thing. My man cave is upstairs on the right-hand side of the house. Our bedroom is downstairs on the left-hand side
of
the house.
So you're as far away from her as possible.
Pretty much. I knew I was in trouble. So when she started in on me, she was like, "What the heck are you doing? Have you lost your mind? Blah, 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 blah." I was still mad, so I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't the worst part. The worst part, my 15-year-old, his room is separated from my room by our bathroom that we share, right? I can hear him laughing at me while I'm getting in trouble.
That's humiliating.
I was like, this guy, and he's cracking up. He thinks this is the funniest thing in the world right now, and it's like 11-something at night. You know, and he doesn't have school the next day. He's just in his room chilling or whatever. He is having a ball because he thinks this is so funny. So last night, the kids and I were upstairs. We were hanging out, laughing, talking and stuff. And I was like, "Oh, by the way, the next time you get in trouble and mom is laughing at you, I'm not going to save you. I'm going to return the favor. I'm going to laugh at you." And he just couldn't contain himself. He thought that was just the funniest thing. He's like, "Mom was so mad at you. She came upstairs. She was fussing. It was pretty funny. She was fussing at you like she fusses at me." And so I was like,
"She probably was, to be fair."
She was, and I deserved it. I was being an idiot. But
in our house, my Xbox room is the second living room. I don't have a man cave. But the second living room is right next to the first living room, and it's all open, the whole open floor plan.
Uh-huh.
So I can't even yell when things go on. It's just a lot of angry gestures and like holding my breath. I feel like a toddler when I do it because I can't get angry like a normal person.
It's weird because that was just a regular season game in one league. I literally lost a playoff game that I had in the bag by a lucky catch in a long touchdown last seconds of the game. And it was during the day, everybody was there, and I really didn't yell, didn't fuss, didn't cuss. It was just like, okay, whatever. I think I was too tired at that point to give a damn. But last night, I was up, I was energetic. Sunday night, I'm sorry. I was up, I was energetic, I was into it, and I lost it.
What's it like being up and energetic late at night? I wouldn't know. I'm such an old man when it comes to night. And I used to stay up with the best of them, but 9:30 rolls around. I'm like, "Honey, you want to get in bed?" I mean, like, I'm not ready to go to sleep yet.
You just want to lay down and relax.
Ready to lay down and relax and start to go that way. And
what's funny,
she's not having it. She's like, "Nah, you can go lay down if you want to, but nah."
What's so funny is like, I think like long time ago, I had a weird schedule when I was going to HCC. I would work at school, go to school, and work overnight. So I would get up, I would open up the video editing lab and work there, then take a couple of classes, go home, get something to eat, take a break, and then work overnight. And I did that for like about 6, 7, 8 months, almost a year. And I think ever since then, my sleep schedule has been screwed. It was screwed before that, but it really got screwed off after that. So a lot of the times I'll take like these mini naps at night, like from 10 to maybe 1 or 2, and then I'm up. So if you think about it, ask Fred and Josh. They've gotten emails from me for my sports map articles at like 3 or 4 in the morning.
You're Kramer when he tried to do the Leonardo da Vinci and take 15-minute naps every hour instead of sleeping all night.
That's pretty much how it is, and it drives my wife nuts. especially now, because we got to get the builder to fix the door. It's a brand new house, but for some reason, the way they built the frame rubs on one corner of the door, and it makes the most obnoxious rubbing wood noise, squeak, bang thing when you open and close the door. So if I ever try to go and get in the bed and it's past like 10:30, I will literally wake her up from her sleep.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is, but we're going to get that fixed, you know, because the builders are really good people. They've been really nice to us and everything. So everything's been working out pretty well so far with the house. I actually got a grill.
You did?
I did get a grill.
Have you used it yet?
I haven't even put it together yet.
So I just put together a grill. Putting together a grill is not fun.
No.
At all. It is. You can buy them already made, but there's like a $50.
Right.
There's a $50 surplus on it because it's already made. And I bought it. I was like, no, I'm going to put this together myself. And if you give me instructions, I can follow them. I can put anything together. I'm not overly handy, but I can put stuff together. And it took me like 3.5 hours of curse-filled terror to put that thing together. My wife was just – she was laughing most of the time. Just like, what are you doing? But it was awful.
This is going to be one of those projects that I'm probably going to do on a Sunday afternoon after me and the kids get home from church, because the wife will be working at church. That way she's not home, so I can let out whatever expletive-filled tirades and throw tools as much as I want and don't have to be worried about being ridiculed for it. So that's probably when this is going to get done.
Good call. Good call. Well, Jermaine, there is an NBA Finals game tomorrow. The Rockets aren't in it, but we're going to talk about it on the other side of the break. When we come back, the final segment, little NBA Finals talk. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to The Blitz. If you could wipe it away. But the thoughts coming back now, stronger than ever. What they taken away. Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Final segment here on The Blitz. Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Avery filling in for Fred and A.J. Jong is here producing. Been a good show. Thank you for tuning in, whether you're on ESPN 97.5 or on SportsMap 94.1. Jermaine, we managed to make it basically the entire show without talking about the NBA Finals, which is probably the biggest sporting event going on right now.
I think that's been our greatest feat today.
That's pretty sure. It's certainly not getting Jong to Comic-Con, because we failed on that one.
Oh, my gosh.
Hard. Yeah. Thank you, Lamont, reaching out to sponsors on our behalf. Appreciate that, Lamont, on Twitter.
That sponsor, wow. If that actually comes to fruition, we have to give Lamont full credit.
Oh, 100%, without a doubt. So, Game 3 is tomorrow night. It's 2-0, Warriors lead. Game 1 was a 51-8-8 masterpiece by LeBron that was ruined by J.R. Smith's stupidity. Game 2 was a close game until the fourth quarter, and Steph Curry got out of control from behind the three-point line, set an NBA record for threes made in the finals game. They win by 20.
Mm-hmm.
What I legitimately think, the Warriors stand no chance. If it's me, I think it's a sweep. The only chance the Warriors have to win, or the Cavs have to win one game, is in game 3, because the home crowd, the energy, all that good stuff. But I just don't see it. Give me the Warriors in a sweep at this point.
I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I think the Cavs are going to get a game, and they're going to get game 3 tomorrow night. The Warriors will win game 4. They'll go back to Golden State. Golden State will close it out in front of their home crowd. The reason why I agree with I say the Cavs are going to win game 3 is because the wave of emotion, they're going to ride that wave. The crowd, a lot of their guys, particularly George Hill, shoots a lot better this playoffs at home.
The team, not named LeBron James, is 12 points better at home than they are on the road during the playoffs.
Exactly. So if they can get anything remotely close to the effort that they got from the bench guys in game two, and LeBron does another LeBron type of performance, 30-plus, you know, 8-plus, 8-plus, they can beat the Warriors. However, just like I talked about earlier, in order to beat the Warriors, you have to score efficiently. You have to defend and make – and defend doesn't mean, like, stop them from scoring, you know, 100 points.
Long possessions, lots of passes, make them move, make them work. Don't let Steph Curry dribble down and pull up right 5 seconds into the shot clock.
Getting defensive rebounds is a huge part.
Getting offensive rebounds. Tristan Thompson plays a big role in something like that.
Right.
Rodney Hood is allegedly going to get more minutes, not garbage time minutes, coming into the game. So,
as well, I think he should, because out of the 2 3-point gunners, either he or Kyle Korver has had more minutes. And Kyle Korver, underestimatingly, has played pretty damn well on the defensive end this playoffs. He hasn't shot his normal, like, close to 40 or shade over 40%. But for an older guy that's not known for his defense, he's played pretty good defense in some spots this playoffs. But they need some more of that outside shooting and home cooking. Referees tend to give the home teams more calls. So look for that shadiness to continue, but in the favor of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
So look for Warriors Twitter to be really angry during the hashtag ref watch party tomorrow.
Oh, Warriors Twitter will probably be setting that account on fire. I guarantee you by the no later than midway through the second quarter. If ref hashtag ref watch party lasts that long.
Oh, it will not last that long. There's zero chance. There's going to be enough Rockets fans trolling the entire ref watch party.
Oh, I think they're going to be general basketball fans.
Period. Oh, there will be, but there will be a lot of Rockets fans doing it.
Oh, definitely.
And it'll be fun. I'm actually going to watch the hashtag just to see how it goes.
You know, normally how I show you how I take my notes on my phone and everything else, I kid you not, I will probably be watching more of Ref Watch Party than paying attention to the game, depending on how the game goes.
Other thing, when LeBron gets his guys wide open looks, Kevin Love, I'm looking at you, hit shots. That's so LeBron James is playing at such a ridiculous level this summer, this playoffs. And he is getting absolutely nothing in return for it. And that's not to say that this is the worst Cavs team. No, this Cavs team is talented enough to, you know, obviously get to the finals. They're not talented enough to beat the Warriors. But the fact that other than the Raptors series, LeBron has largely done this himself. The Raptors series, the whole team played well as a team.
Right.
Because they just own the Raptors. But outside of that, LeBron James has done this all himself and is getting nothing for his effort.
I still say to this day, this is one of his better accomplishments, even though they're 9 times out of 10 going to lose this series. There's just not a real shot of them winning this series at all, much less winning more than maybe one game, unless something just catastrophic happens to the Golden State Warriors where, like, Kevin Durant and or Steph Curry both get injured, or, you know, something along that line has to happen. He's carried this team on his back, and they were dead to rights several times this season, and they had to play 2 game 7s in order to get here in the first round against the Pacers and Eastern Conference Finals against Boston.
Speaking of the Pacers, also expect Pacers Twitter to be on ref watch party about a specific goaltend that was not called. And
I think Celtics Twitter is also going to be involved as well. But like I said, I think there'll be several fans Twitter involved.
It'll be bad. It's literally the worst idea that the NBA referees official Twitter could have had to have this ref watch party. The fact that they think they're going to respond to the questions they're going to get is kind of cute.
Yeah, it's... Just looking at this game and seeing what could possibly happen, not only one underestimated thing, I know everybody talks about Steph Curry and the record for 3-point field goals made in a finals game, but Kevin Durant got his groove back as well. He was extremely efficient in game two, and that's the last person I think you need to get his groove back against the Cavs was Kevin Durant. If Steph Curry does it, that's one thing, because you can be physical on him, you can challenge some of his shots, and you can kind of bump him up and you know, make him throw him off his game some. But Kevin Durant is the one monster that you don't have an answer for.
So, last thought, Cavs win tomorrow, in your opinion?
Cavs will win. It'll be 112-109.
Wow. Even a score prediction. I wasn't going to go there. No chance. Warriors are going to sweep this thing. This isn't even close. It's not good. The Eastern Conference is bad, and I don't really know how to get it better. Get some superstars to go back to the Eastern Conference.
Not going to happen.
So, thank you, everybody, for taking time out to listen to The Blitz today. I'm Craig Koshkin, Jermaine Every, Jon Snow. Have a great week. Fred's back tomorrow. AJ's back on Monday. We'll see you next time.